So, Jonathan Jones from Pontypridd, what a roller coaster season you had until it stopped.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it was a difficult start before Christmas and sort of a difficult run leading up to Christmas. But the move to the sport park in January and a real positive January transfer window was I think the two key factors really in an unbeaten 2020 and some good results along the way as well.
We made a lot about the fact that you returned to that sports park in January, and the statistics sort of backed it up. Unbeaten when you were there, it was a place that people seemed to fear. Well, what was going on there?
Yeah, it was. I think there was a lot of there was many factors really. I think a real positive vibe around the place, in terms of moving back home to the local area, that meant we could connect with our junior section even better, excuse me, in terms of mascots and sort of match day experiences, which was really positive, really brought the club together. But also in terms of the pitch, the playing surface was great for our technical players to really show their worth. And also the size of the pitch is, a really big pitch that, because we'd been training on it even prior to our official move there, for our competitive games, that gave us an advantage. I felt that we were ready to cover that greater distance and ready to play on that surface, having trained on that pitch for many weeks and months, and also trained in the indoor barn next to it. So our training was on 3G for a long, long time, and being in the minority then, having a 3G pitch, I think was a big advantage for us.
So it was more technical and physical rather than mental. It wasn't just simply a case of you felt you were back at home and that sort of mentally spurred you on.
Yeah, I think a mixture of it all, really, in terms of, like I said, physically we were at an advantage, particularly when you look at the goals we scored in that last half an hour of the games we won. And then technically brought our best players to the fore in terms of giving them the best surface to show their worth. And then, yeah, I guess there was a real positive vibe around the club coming home to the local area and linking up with the juniors. But as well as the pitch and that fantastic facility at USW, it was also a vital transfer window for us as well, bringing in Dave Vincent in particular. To add real strength and quality to the team, really.
Was it easy to persuade him to come once he knew that you were back at USW or you were playing at USW?
Yeah, it was quite a quick conversation, to be honest, with Dave Vincent. They had a change in circumstance and manager down at Carmarthen. So a conversation there in terms of availability. And then Dave's, got a bit of history with the university, having been a student with us a number of years ago, someone I've worked with when I was an analyst for the uni team, into a coach when I was with Welsh Unis, and Dave played for Welsh Unis. And he was part of the 2016 national champion team with USW. So someone who had connections with USW, lives locally to USW, and knows a lot of the players because of the sort of natural USW connections now, through myself, through the what was a training facility. Now it's also our match venue. So I think the sort of USW sort of air about us is strong at the moment, and that played a part for bringing Dave in January.
Now, we've seen Cardiff Met rise through the Welsh pyramid system. Swansea University seem like they're making their intent on that as well. So here you are, guys, now with your affiliation to University of South Wales. Are you USWFC, or is it too easy to say that?
Yeah, I think it's too early to tell at the moment. I think the club's got its own identity at the moment in terms of being Pontypridd Town AFC. I think there's strong links there, inevitably, having played there on and off for the last couple of years, it being the training venue for a good number of years now, and obviously being back at the sport parks permanently as our match venue. no doubt there'd be conversations going on in the background that I've been part of that are probably, you know, in early to mid stages at the moment, and how we can best link up to get the most sort of cohesive partnership, I guess, in terms of how the first team and their status can benefit the university, but also the university facilities, the university students in terms of coaches and analysts can best fit together and work well in the future in terms of a potential partnership. So early conversations at the moment. But yeah, exciting times because both parties can offer a great deal. And I think both parties can achieve an awful lot working together.
I mean, it seems obvious for you to get a stronger partnership because, like you say, of the location, you guys have wanted to get a foot back in Pontypridd for a while. They are the university in Pontypridd. Is this the way? Do you feel the only way to progress now, or one of the best ways to progress out of this league through the Cymru Prem, which is, I presume, where you want to be, it is to sort of saddle up with the university? Does that give you an advantage, a head start, do you think?
Yeah, I think, you know, definitely an ambition of ours as a club to progress into the Cymru Premier. I think I wouldn't say it's the only way, because you've got clubs like Halford West that have done it their way this year and been very successful. I think it's certainly a way of doing it. It was the perfect fit for Pontypridd Town because it was a university in the local area with a sort of strong heritage in delivering football courses and a strong football footprint, if you like, in terms of its teams. And that brings with it the fantastic facilities as well. So for us, it was a perfect fit. It was local. It was on the doorstep. Gives us, you know, fantastic facilities to train and play at. We can link together now if conversations go well in terms of infrastructure and, you know, potential growth. So for us, it was a perfect fit. And I think, you know, it can certainly work moving forward.
Well, let's look back at the season so far. I started about the roller coaster analogy because it was a tough old start for you on the road at grounds that not familiar to you. As we got better and as that unbeaten run kicked in, any regrets about not moving earlier? I mean, whether that was possible or not, do you really think the move has been this bad?
I think it was a combination of factors, to be honest. I think, you know, looking back, reflecting, it was early days in my sort of management career, those first couple of months and weeks, and sort of getting to know the league, learning on the job, if you like, had a major impact in January. So I think you look back to our summer recruitment and compare that to our January recruitment, I think there were lessons learned and improvements made. Couple that with the grounds and sort of, you know, having every home game feeling like an away game up at Aberdeen, who were great to us, to be fair, ground sharing with us and hosting us. But it, I guess there's nothing like having your own football ground and being back in the local area. So I think a combination of factors, really, between sort of myself learning on the job and still progressing, the recruitment in the summer compared to the recruitment in January, and then the sort of combination of those factors clicking together in January with, you know, the team really understanding our methods and the way we want to play, and being back home in the local area on a fantastic pitch. So I think a real combination of factors.
What was the most nervous time for you during that bad spell? What? Give me one moment where you thought, this is looking a bit dodgy, we might find ourselves at the wrong end of the table.
Yeah, I think we had, I'm just looking back through our fixtures now, actually. I think we had time, we had 5 losses out of 6 games. I think that was a really tough time for us, you know, to sort of dig deep and sort of show what we're about, really. You know, we lost to STM, we lost to Goitre, then we beat Cumbria and Celtic, but we lost to Tafswell away, we lost to Armanford at home, we lost to Swansea Uni away. So that sort of October period was really tough for us in terms of results and things. That would probably be the period I look back on and say was the toughest of the season, really. I'm just counting now, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 losses out of 8 games. You know, that was a really tough period, stretching September through October.
And it was a period that shocked me and Jonah on the podcast, because we didn't expect Pontypridd to be in such bad form. We knew that the change that it was at management would obviously cause a little bit of probably finding each other's feet, as you say at the start. But what was the message coming down from the top to you at that time? You know, were you feeling the sort of heavy breath of the chairman on your shoulder?
To be fair, the chairman's been great since I've been in the club in terms of coaching last year and managing this year. I think there were inevitable questions that were asked in terms of, you know, what's going to be done to turn things around. But I think they were fair, to be honest. They were fair and honest conversations at the time around, you know, what we're going to do. And obviously, it was clear that came in October. And still being in a job now, sort of months later, you know, credit to the club for keeping the faith and sticking with me and the team to sort of give us the opportunity to pull through it. And then that sort of started in the lead up to Christmas, and then really kicked on after Christmas, really.
So we've talked about how things have gone with the club, JJ, but you acquired yourself another job later on in the season, which obviously you haven't been able to follow through on at the moment. Given the task of managing the South Wales team in the UEFA Regions Cup, take us back to the moment when you got the call and they asked you to do it.
Yeah, very exciting and very proud moment. I think, you know, a very clear and transparent process in terms of putting an application into the FAW and then having an interview down at their offices. And then Andrew Howard rang me then from the FAW a day or two later to say that I was successful, which was a very proud moment and very exciting to get our teeth into. And Griff down at Anfield was part of the staff as well, and Nick Davis, the Cymru South sort of league manager, if you like, who heads things up at the FAW. We were working quite closely as a team of three, getting into the preparations and the planning of how the programme would fit in terms of training, friendlies and preparation. And then we were actually just about to name the squad in the days leading up to the sort of suspension of football, really, due to coronavirus. And then we held off, really, because we didn't feel it was the right time and we were unclear on when things would get back up and running. But the great news is, really, UEFA haven't cancelled that tournament in September. It's still there, still in the diary as we stand now. So it'll be a case of the FAW trying to rearrange that North v South game when football resumes, and hopefully we can get back to it, albeit postponed and at a later date. But you know, as much involved as we would have been, and we can get things off the ground, play the North region home and away legs, and hopefully then qualify for UEFA Regions tournament in Bulgaria in September. So just one that's very exciting and very proud, but just on hold at the moment, really, given the situation.
So come on then, seeing as it's not going ahead for a while, who was in the team? Mark Jones, Britton Ferry, surely?
Yeah, the squad was a difficult one to pick, to be honest, because the eligibility criteria was playing a factor in that you had to be registered in your region, so in the South region, for over 2 years. You can't have signed a professional contract, but that also includes players on contract. So although people would argue that the Welsh Premier League has got some professional teams in there and some semi-professional teams in there, anyone who signs a contract with the club is on a contract. So those players were then ruled out for us. So a couple of criteria, really. You can't have played in the Cymru Prem ever. You can't have ever signed a contract or professional deal. And you have to be registered in the South region for 2 years. Plus, you've got to be 19 to 39 at the time of the tournament in Bulgaria. So it was a really tough process in terms of, I think the easiest thing to do would have been pick an all-star team from our league. But it was then filtering through those very best players into those that were eligible. So there was a couple of lads that were ruled out because they'd been ex-Cymru Premier players. A few more ruled out because they've been on a contract previously at a club or an ex-professional player. But also there were a couple that were ruled out because they were too young by the time we'd travelled to the tournament. So we got down to a list of around 33, 35. And then the plan was to play an in-house three-way 11v11 type practice match, if you like, and then filter that squad down further, I think, to a final through the process of training and friendlies, through the programme, down into a final squad of 20, I believe, or 18, actually, to play the North game. So too many names to go through, and I think there's a lot to change between now, the time football resumes, and then the time the Cymru South region resumes to name anyone in particular, really.
It sounds like half the Cymru South is out of contention anyway with those criteria. Well done for getting through them anyway. Has to say, I suppose you've not got your chance to think about that process yet. But I suppose what's interesting for me in this is that it does create, if you like, a North versus South All-Stars team with criteria. And, you know, it would be interesting, and I'm sure part of the challenge for you and part of the interest for you was to see how South teams or South players face up against those North teams.
Yeah, definitely. I think, you know, the Cymru Prem has had a good sort of history of real strong Northern teams and strong in numbers as well. You know, a lot of teams from the North have been sort of dominant in the Cymru Prem over the years, and a high number of them as well. So also seeing some of those now, like Rill and Bangor, Prestatyn playing in the Cymru North, I think was a real exciting test, really, to test our players, you know, of the same criteria as the North. But to see how that sort of comparison, really, is a good question to have answered, sort of a North-East-South with all the history that comes with it and all the banter that comes with it, to sort of see the best region that can be put together and win that two-leg playoff game, if you like.
Well, JJ, all the best with it. At some stage, we are going to get back into some sort of football. I mean, coming back to Pontypridd and the league, at the moment, all football is frozen. We're still looking to see if we can get games on in June, July, August, whatever that may be. What's your take as a manager of a team on what should happen next?
Yeah, I think the FAW have been great in terms of their efforts to sort of put in place the next steps, if you like, because there's been a clear dialogue with the clubs in terms of trying to see out the seasons. I know there was a decision taken in the lower leagues or the non-league in England to null and void seasons, which can have its benefits because everyone knows where they are right at the time that decision's made. But as we've seen, a lot of teams have lost out on promotion or benefited because of relegation. So I think, you know, the noises I'm hearing or the communication I'm having from the FAW is that they want to play the season to an end. And I think, you know, when you strip it back to the competitive nature and why you get involved in football, I think that's the right thing to do. It's a tough time at the moment where we need to focus on health and people staying safe. But when things do resume, I think it's only fair to finish the current season before we start the next season. So I think, you know, the delay to the season and postponement has been welcomed in the interest of public health, if you like. But also, I think the sort of plan of playing the season out, you know, when we resume, hopefully in June, if everything goes well, I think it's the right thing to do to sort of to see out the season that was live, the current season we're still within.